Thank you, Kristen and Anissa, Brian, Jeff, Phil, Barrett, Melanie. Thank you guys for leading us in worship this morning. Just beautiful, beautiful. Our scripture text for today comes from chapter 28 of the book of Acts. It is the final chapter in the book of Acts. There was a ministry called Acts 29. And Acts 29, you can imagine, is a continuation of the early church. So that's always how I remember that there are 28 chapters. It's not 29 chapters. Acts 29, of course, is the continuation of the church. We will read the scripture together, and I'd ask that since we're going to read the whole scripture, stand with me as we read. After we had reached safety, we then learned that the island was called Malta. The natives showed us unusual kindness. Since it had begun to rain and was cold, they kindled a fire and welcomed all of us around it. Paul had gathered a bundle of brushwood and was putting it on the fire when a viper, driven out by the heat, fastened itself on his hand. When the natives saw the creature hanging from his hand, they said to one another, "This man must be a murderer. Though he has escaped from the sea, justice has not allowed him to live." He, however, shook off the creature into the fire and suffered no harm. They were expecting him to swell up or to drop dead, but after they waited a long time, they saw that nothing unusual had happened to him. They changed their minds and began to say that he was a god. Now in the neighborhood of that place were lands belonging to the leading man of the island named Publius, who received us and entertained us hospitably for 3 days. It so happened that the father of Publius lay sick in bed with fever and dysentery. Paul visited him and cured him by praying and putting his hands on him. After this had happened, the rest of the people on the island who had diseases also came and were cured. They bestowed many honors on us, and when we were about to sail, they put on board all the provisions we needed. You may be seated. Let us pray. Holy God, we thank you for your scripture, for your word, that there is a message for us here. A message for us here, not just from clever exegesis, but a message for us to take and to live. And Lord, may that message come clear today as we look at your word. In your name we pray, amen. So in these final two messages from a whole series, a 9-month series on Acts I've called Kindle, we look at Paul's journey to Rome. These final chapters cover where Paul goes to the ends of the earth, as we sung a little bit ago. Luke, in good fashion, has arranged the content according to, and we've said this over and over again, Acts 1:8. Does anybody know Acts 1:8? Steve.
On the day of Pentecost, the Holy Spirit came like a mighty rushing wind, and it filled the whole room. And then all the believers were filled with the Holy Spirit, and they began to speak in other tongues. And fire was upon their heads.
Yes. That is chapter 2, but let's give them a hand. Jesus came to the disciples and said, "You will be my witnesses until Jerusalem, Judea, Samaria, and to the ends of the earth." So that moment there in the filling that Stephen just talked about, the filling of the Holy Spirit, as the Holy Spirit came upon the people in that upper room in Jerusalem, was the beginning of Luke's, of that 1:8 thesis statement, as it were. Jerusalem, Judea, Samaria, to the ends of the earth. In these final chapters, we see that come true. The witnesses head to Rome. Paul is being pushed by the wind in his shipwreck, finding himself on the island of Malta. Paul is a prisoner, but as was promised and according to the Holy Spirit, Paul is being taken from Jerusalem to Judea, to Samaria, and to the ends of the earth. Paul is not in control. That is very clear by this point, isn't it? It used to be, well, it seems good to us in the Holy Spirit, or maybe I'll go here and go there, and that's good with the Holy Spirit. Now, Paul is a prisoner of Rome. He's being drug around by centurions, by the whim of some ship captains who decide to sail in the middle of winter. A great wind pushes them. They almost die. They almost starve. They eat their last meal of food. They give thanks to God. And they suddenly start to come closer to land for some reason. The boat, as they've thrown the tackle over to try to slow down the boat, the wind continues to push them to Malta, and they end up on this island. They end up on the island of Malta. What they find out is the island of Malta. In chapter 28, we get two vignettes. We get this picture that we're going to look at today and the picture we're going to look at next week. The picture we're going to look at today is Paul arriving on the shore of Malta and what happens with the Maltese people. Next week, we'll look at Paul in Rome as he's there under house arrest for the remaining of his life, the remaining time of his life. I think we get a clue as to what is produced by the Holy Spirit at the end of this book. See, Luke has had a vision all along as he's writing this history. He's doing it very purposefully. It just so happens to follow the story of Paul. And for us, we get a picture of what does it look like to kindle, be kindled by the Holy Spirit. Both vignettes are about gospel-based, gospel-driven hospitality. In both cases, we see someone kindling a friendship, a relationship. We see people kindling the Holy Spirit, making room and space for fellowship and for God to move and to work. Kindle, in the first point here, kindle is a metaphor for the community creating, hospitality giving, sparks of encounter we see happening in the book of Acts. That word kindle comes from chapter 28 here as the Maltese people welcome Paul onto the island. They kindle a fire. They welcome him into their home. 2 weeks ago, we saw how Paul, and even in the midst of being a prisoner, being lost in a boat at sea, manages to break bread. He manages to, through the midst of that, see how God is going to act and how God is going to work. The angels come and deliver a message. No, Paul, everybody will be safe. Everybody will make it to Rome, just as I have said, God tells him. They're trying to stop the boat from drifting, but it drifts. And Paul arrives on the island of Malta, not as a powerful conqueror, not as a businessman, not as a soldier, but as a broken, washed up, shipwrecked prisoner. A prisoner who carries the message of Jesus Christ, the good news. Let's start reading together at verse 1 of chapter 8. After we had reached safety, we then learned that the island was called Malta. They didn't even know where they were. The natives have showed us unusual kindness since it began to rain and was cold. They kindled a fire and welcomed all of us around it. So first it's evident that the wind had pushed them so far, so long, and so hard, and they'd been at sea for so long they had no idea where they were. Remember, there were clouds. And so the navigators of old used to use the stars to navigate, and still do today. They didn't know where they were. They learned it was Malta. Malta had been conquered and settled by the Greeks a few centuries before, but for 100 years, up until the time of Jesus, invaders and pirates had come into the island and frequented the shores to try to raid and steal the wealth and the treasures of Malta. So you can imagine the tension was thick as Paul, the crew, and the others were made their way onto the island and encountered these people. What would happen? Would they be slaughtered? Would they be welcomed in? Would they be made to stay on the shore? Would they offer any help? The Greek word here used for these foreigners is barbarioi, where we get our word barbarian. Now that obviously comes before the racial connotations of that word barbarian in our modern day. But these were foreigners, people very different. And after having barely eaten anything for the past 3 weeks, They would lose. Would they have to try to fight a battle, being weak and starved and being wet and cold? Paul had already survived the prospect of the centurion killing off the prisoners because he couldn't handle them on an island. Paul survived that. But we see that the unexpected would yet again happen. That verse 2, the natives showed unusual kindness. That word unusual kindness is philanthropion. Maybe you recognize that word too. Philanthropion. Phileo is love. Anthropos is man. The people, the native Greek people show, they kindled a fire with great human love. Great human kind of love. This is unusual kindness. Not because the natives were savages. No. They were actually the opposite. This was unusual because welcoming strangers like this as well, it's kind of unusual. People show up on your shore. What do you do with them? Initially, the story challenges me. It says, Paul, who do you allow to welcome you? Who are you vulnerable with? See, Paul was in great need. He wasn't going to pick and choose who would help him. In fact, one African reader of the story of the Good Samaritan, we are all familiar with the story of the Good Samaritan. One African reader read the story in terms of and identifying with not the ones passing by on the road, but by the one who had been beaten up and was laying on the side of the road. And when he heard Jesus' question, this African interpreter of that story, he took the story to mean when Jesus says, which of these three do you think was a neighbor to the man who fell in the hands of the robbers? This African interpreter took it to mean that I would be a neighbor to any of them if they would help me. Paul is there on the island. He's there on the island, totally, totally decimated. No food. You can imagine his clothes are torn, sopping wet. It's cold. He's shivering. He's shaking. Who now is Paul's neighbor? He's helpless. He's a prisoner. No food, no water, windblown hair. Maybe if he has no hair, he's got a windblown beard. I don't know. But who's going to help? How does Paul respond? Does Paul pick up a sword? Does he engage in combat? What does he do? Well, Paul is a servant. So he starts going around picking up brushwood. It says in verse 3, Paul had gathered a bundle of brushwood and was putting it on the fire. Paul is joining in on this hospitable act. They were taken into the homes. That word taken in was the same word that was used of Priscilla and Aquila, as Priscilla and Aquila take in Apollos and teach them about the gospel. They take him in. And when the natives, it says in verse 4, saw the creature hanging from his hand, there's Paul standing there. You guys love snakes? Anybody love snakes? Most of us hate snakes or repulsed by snakes. A few of us love snakes. But the natives know what kind of snake it is. They saw the creature hanging from his hand. They said to one another, this man must be a murderer. Though he has escaped from the sea, justice has not allowed him to live. Justice has not allowed him. We know what's funny and what's kind of ironic is that Paul, earlier on in the book of Acts, was a murderer. He's a killer. He was going after Christians, persecuting them, torturing them, imprisoning them, and even with Stephen, watching Stephen be killed for the sake of the gospel. Paul suffers no harm. It says in verse 6, they were expecting him to swell up or drop dead. They knew what kind of snake it was. But after they had waited a long time and saw that nothing unusual had happened to him, they changed their minds. They changed their minds. So again, Paul is not in control. Paul has been pushed all the way across the Mediterranean Sea by this wind, arrives on Malta, starts serving by picking up brushes, branches and things for the fire, gets bitten, and it's a sign to the people. The suspicions had rose among the Maltese. We get a glimpse into what they were thinking, but that snake bite to them meant that Paul must be a bad person and that justice is caught up to him. And we laugh at some of this irony as we read this story, saying, well, you don't know who Paul was. You don't know who Paul was, who now he is now a servant of the living God. Paul's life, see, I think there's another kind of tangential point we can make. Paul's life is no longer operating under the suspicion of judgment. Paul's like, uh-oh, this is it. This is the sign I'm going down for all that bad stuff I did. Right? We don't get that from Paul. He knows he has a mission. He's been called to go to the Gentiles, and here's some Gentiles. And he believes that God's going to deliver him and send him to Rome. Paul was plain and simple man, driven by an extraordinary plan. He was a weak and humble man. The gospel arrives on the island as a sopping, wet, shipwrecked prisoner picks up sticks. Paul was no conqueror. He was a servant of Jesus. We see point number three. When we go to the ends of the earth for God, God goes to the ends of the earth for us. Paul was sent to the ends of the earth. He goes to the ends of the earth. God goes with him. A viper, extremely a poisonous snake, latches onto Paul's hand. And through a miracle or fortuitous circumstances, some have described snakes as having, maybe if the snake had recently bit something, the venom has dripped out and he can stand another bite. We don't know. But Paul gains favor with the people. An unexpected reversal happens, and they began to see Paul as a god. Point number four, God works in and through the unexpected encounter. See, when Paul was standing there with that, I just imagine him, see, look what happened. what kind of snake is this? Oh, it's a viper. Unexpected, lots of unexpected things happening. Paul is able to shake it off. That deception, that snake, which often stood for deception in the Bible, he was just able to shake off. That judgment that he would one day face for having killed and having sought after Christians, he would shake it off. It wouldn't bother him. He was on a mission. Well, today next week as well, we see what hospitality offers us, and we see how the kindling of the Holy Spirit, how the power of the unexpected encounter creates a moment where these Maltese probably didn't imagine they would be welcoming people on that shore that day. Here a stranger stands before them impervious to viper bites. This has never happened to me personally, anything quite this incredible. But when I travel abroad, sometimes I get called things. I've been called a warrior or an angel. Or when I walk into a village, and I'm not that tall, but I walk into a village of people who are very much shorter than me. You know, I am quite a sight to be seen. My first mission trip was to Burma, where basically no white people go. The northern part of Burma, in fact, a place where the government actually had to escort us up to this place, and just people would stare. They'd never seen blonde hair before, never seen blue eyes before. They would touch my skin, see if they were real. In 2007, 8, we took the kids to India with us. And Heather would go around the marketplace, and the people would approach our babies and try to touch the babies. They believed the baby was a god, a blonde baby. They have pictures of blonde babies on their walls. And here a blonde baby was there. What do we do with these moments, these unexpected encounters? Well, this is part of what it means to follow Christ, to go where God wants us to go. We have unexpected encounters. Every week here at church, we have unexpected encounters. Every week in your job, you have unexpected encounters. You walk down the street and you will have unexpected encounters. Paul doesn't correct them about the God thing. At least at first. Paul's sent by God. He quickly moves into something else. He begins to pray for the people. And so we read, now in the neighborhood, on verse 7, now in the neighborhood of that place were lands belonging to the leading man of the island. Now this is not a small island, named Publius, who had received us and entertained us hospitably. That, again, is that word, philanthropion. Not a common word in Greek. Here it appears again. They show great hospitality, great human love to Paul and others. And it just so happened that the father of Publius lay sick in bed with fever and dysentery. Paul said, I've seen this play out before. It so happened that the father, the lay sick, and Paul visited him and cured him by praying and putting hands on him. Putting hands is even a euphemism for doing medical work to him. So laying on my hands isn't just a zapping of Holy Spirit power, which certainly there was, but it might also include laying on of hands. Maybe some of you are nurses in here, and you know the power of a touch. What a power of a touch and attention can do for a patient. After this happened, the rest of the people on the island who had diseases also came and were cured. So now we're getting into looking like Jesus type stuff, right? Everybody's coming. Everybody's coming. Something with this new stranger that has showed up on our shore. There's some power that has worked within him. And so they bestowed many honors on us, it says in verse 10. And we were about to sail. They put on board all the provisions we needed. And point five, Paul and the prisoners go from shipwrecked shame to ultimate honor. Paul is not a god. He doesn't act like a god. Paul is a servant of the Most High God. Paul could have carried around his shame, but in his journey to the ends of the earth, here God honors Paul and honors all of those in his presence, in his company. Your journey, my journey to the ends of the earth is from shame to honor. I suggested that this phrase, to the ends of the earth, can mean just more than a geographical trip. This is the journey we are all on, to know and to love our God. We are all moving from brokenness to wholeness, from hurt to healing, from misery to joy. But we can't enter into service with Jesus without radical obedience. The very thing Paul is engaging in, radical obedience to the Spirit, radical obedience to see his situation differently. Paul was radically obedient to that calling that he had received on the Damascus Road. Now, for us, thinking that we can come to church in the same way that we can attend, like attending a sports game or a concert, like we can come to church and be a spectator, is not how it works. The people bestowed many honors on Paul and the crew. Remember, they had thrown all the goods off the ship? Off the ship. So what they did was actually restore all the goods that were on the ship. And guess what happens to the business owners who own the ship? Guess what happens to the centurions who now have to return these prisoners safely back? Everybody is blessed. Everybody is blessed. Like Job, this just occurred to me. Like Job, he had lost everything. And now everything was restored again at the end. It was nothing for these people to do this for Paul, for Publius to do this. He was the man of the island. He could give in such a way that would bless them and send them on their way. I think as I read this story, I thought about steps of faith. What steps of faith do I continue and need to continue to take if I am to follow the Holy Spirit in my life? And I encourage you to walk with me in taking steps. As a church, maybe you took a step a while ago and you took that risk and you stepped out there. Maybe you had an unexpected encounter that went really well. But maybe over time, those unexpected encounters just become normal to you again. No. See that as God's calling on your life, God's opportunity in your life to bring blessing to your, not only to yourself, but to others. Heather left me a note on my desk this week. I moved into the senior pastor office, which is the big office. It's real nice. It has couches, and it's pretty luxurious. She said, remain humble, Paul. And God will lift you up. I love you so much. Keep listening to the Holy Spirit. XOXO, Heather, your wifey. That's a good note. Stay humble. Stay humble, Paul. It occurred to me, humble is Paul's name. And that's my name. Paul literally means small one. It means humble. I've always wondered, why, God, is my name humble? Can't it be something like victorious or, you know, mean something like awesome or amazing or something? No, it means humble. find words as I close in Paul's word to the Philippians. Be confident of this. I remember he wrote this from jail. Be confident of this, that God, who began a good work in you, will carry it on to completion until the day of Jesus Christ. Let us pray. Lord, kindle your fire within us. Kindle your fire within us. And may that fire that burns within us become hospitality to others. May it become blessing for not only ourselves, but for others. May it become mission for us and for others. As we listen to these stories of adventure and unexpected encounters, I ask that you show us the way of faith. Some of us have never stepped out in faith towards you, and I pray that if there are any here today, that they would do that. Some of us have not taken steps of faith recently. Lord, encourage us, strengthen us through these stories. Some of us are weary of running. We've been driven by the wind. Life has us by the horns, and we can't shake it. Give us peace and your grace to weather these storms, Lord. Show us who are the Maltese people in our lives. Show us who are those strangers that may give us an opportunity to be loved and an opportunity to love as Paul did in return. Lord, show us who we will kindle a relationship with this week. Keep us from the temptation of being saviors, of being conquerors. Help us to be vulnerable. Help us to be humble as you were. Help us to be servants, because that's who you are. Help us, O Lord, we pray. Amen.